Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast contains spoilers for the first half of Morbius. It contains no spoilers for the second half because we haven't seen it. Why? Because we are.
That's right, we are Walkout Boys and we've walked out of a movie. Again, we love doing it. We can't get enough.
We love to do it. It's been a minute, but movies come, movies go, and we got to see them. And this week, we are looking at the greyest movie I've ever seen.
Really?
The new... I said grey. Did you think I said grey?
I thought you said greatest movie.
excuse me. I don't want to make that mistake.
Okay, so it's grey. It's the colour grey. This is a colour palette.
I would say
thing. This
is the greyest movie.
Oh yeah.
Of
I'd
life.
Agree with that. It's extremely grey.
It's the movie Morbius, the latest installment in the other
Marvel,
not Marvel, Sony. Spider-Verse.
The Sony Spider-Verse.
Good on them.
Yeah, and what a verse. Up there with the Monster-Verse, the Mummy Monster-Verse, I'd say. In my kind of favorite tier B universes.
Oh, we're not here to talk about them. We're here to talk about Morbius.
Yes.
And this is a movie that we just had to see.
Oh, yeah.
Some of.
Nick messaged me saying... You want to go to see this film? And I said, already planning on it. I was going to go walk out of this alone if you hadn't messaged me. It looks like the most walkoutable film in a long time.
Yeah, so we haven't discussed our thoughts. What are your thoughts?
I saw it at 9 p.m. On a Sunday. Until moments before it started, I was the only person in the cinema. And normally, you know, part of being a walkout boy, I've never had the kind of conundrum of... if I walk out, will they just stop the movie? luckily for the projectionist, who, you know, and they're very sensitive projectionists. If you walk out, you know, they take it personally. I know they didn't make the film, but they take that personally. And another couple walked in and sat behind me, so they got to enjoy the entire film.
Oh, they walked in.
Yeah, yeah. Before it started,
there wasn't
like a
the normal way
a baton passing halfway through the film. The movie was not great, Nick.
Can I ask you this? Yeah, before we talk about the movie, before the movie, and I want to know if this is the same. I'm in the UK. You're in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. Are they doing this in New Zealand? In the UK, before the movies, now they're playing very long, instead of trailers, they play these long featurettes with the stars of the upcoming movies, begging you to go to the movies, just on their knees, begging, just say, look. There was an ad for Ambulance, the new Michael Bay movie.
Ambulance.
And it featured the stars and Michael Bay just being like, yeah, you gotta see this. I'm just begging you to see this in the movie theaters. It's, we put it so much. It's got Michael Bay is literally going, it's got characters. it's got action. It's got characters. And there were like three of these back to back of people just and cutting to like Channing Tatum being like, you gotta come, please come to the movies. You gotta see The Lost City in the movies.
They're doing another thing in New Zealand.
Is it happening in New Zealand?
Where the trailers are playing on, like, they're really small, like within so the main movie is much bigger than the trailers. They make the screen smaller for the trailers. I don't know why. I think like, it seems...
What are you talking about? This is a time-honored thing.
Sorry?
You reveal how big... This is a time-honored thing. This happens all the time.
Really?
You play the trailers, and then you reveal how big the screen is. Like, you thought the movie screen was this big? You idiot. And then the curtains come. What? Have you ever been to a movie?
Not in a while. A little thing called the pandemic, Nick. I don't know if you know about that.
Oh, not for me.
Oh, yeah. Not in London. Okay, well, for me, because that just reminds me that watching something that size is fine, too. It's having the opposite effect of the Michael Bay begging thing. I'm like, oh, you know what? This is pretty big.
You're up there. You're saying, go back.
Go back.
Oh, Wind those curtains in.
I'm saying those trailers just reminding me, I don't have to see this on the biggest screen possible. I enjoyed the trailers.
Cool. You whip out your phone.
Yeah. I mean, in this instance of this film, I probably enjoyed the trailers more than the film, which itself, to get onto the content of the film, is like a kind of like a trailer. It's a collection of disparate scenes that kind of tell a story that doesn't really make much sense, but looks a bit cool, I guess. Our movie starts in...
Disagree with looks cool.
Okay, all right. Well, our movie starts in Costa Rica, like all great movies. Jurassic Park and this movie. An island off the coast of Costa Rica. Morbius limps out of a helicopter.
And one of the guys says, do you need a doctor? And in one of the movie's first many, many great jokes, he goes, I am a doctor. And I know this isn't strictly part of the Marvel universe, but it is the Marvel characters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, I just got to say, it's quite refreshing to see a movie that is so unfunny and just makes no attempt, where the jokes never land. And I would even hesitate to say there are jokes in there, but a lot of the lines are read like jokes.
Yes.
And you
can tell
none of them.
You can tell Leto is trying to play this character a bit lighter than his normal fare. He thinks he's dipping his toes into the sea of fun with this one. Not much. He references The Notebook, in a kind of a weird, like, I don't think The Notebook exists in the Marvel universe. It's just one of the things I think doesn't exist there, and I wish they hadn't said that. So he limps out of a helicopter. Let's discuss the limping for a second, because as we know, Jared Leto famously went method for this role. He limped his way around the set all day and night. I read an article that said he took 45 minutes to go to the toilet in between takes, because he had to limp all the way to the toilet and then limp all the way back. I had a couple of
options. It pays off.
Oh, yeah. It is good. There was one kind of like lingering shot behind him as he limped, and I just imagine the director going, thank God. Thank God he's really committed to the craft, because that limping is kind of really adding to the flow of this scene. Let's discuss how effective it is. I had a few thoughts. One was, he's the smartest scientist in the world. I hope Jared Leto also became an actual doctor for this, because it seems weird to just learn how to do a really good limp and not learn how to be the smartest man in the world.
Yeah. I mean, it's a sensitive, you know, he's playing a guy who has a condition that doesn't exist. And so he's really got to make sure that those people that don't exist, you know, he's paying homage to them.
But there's plenty of things that do exist in his condition, like limping and also having a doctorate. No, I just think I hope he studied. Secondly, Matt Smith.
Yeah, oh, by the way, I would say that you absolutely know that he's the smartest doctor in the world, because his PIN code is the first six numbers of pi.
Backwards, Nick. Backwards.
Oh yes. Yeah. Sorry. A lesser doctor wouldn't think to do that, but because he is
314. That's a. You're just a normal doctor. Matt Smith plays his friend Lucien, or Milo, got two names, who is a fellow limp haver.
He's a sufferer of this incurable blood disease that is just fucking these guys up.
And I want to know, was he all, because there's like lots of scenes of them just limping around together. And then when they called cut, did Matt Smith just stop limping and Jared Leto kept limping?
Almost certainly. I can't see Matt Smith keeping. Honestly, feels incredibly disrespectful to just keep limp. Like, what are you doing? What do you do? Like, what are you up to? Because you're also, this is not a biopic where you're like playing someone who suffered from something and you want to like imbue this with like, you are playing a vampire who spends a lot of the time upside down, hanging from a ceiling or being like vape. Like, just leave it alone. Just chill out, man. Have some fun. Like, clearly wants to have a bit of fun, but don't make everyone late for lunch. You maniac.
Thank you, Nick. And thank you for speaking up for the workers on Morbius.
That's right. He loves origami with Dr. Morbius.
Yes. So I've got some notes.
Which is actually something that I got quite into during the lockdown. I got into making more. And fun fact, that bat that he makes, I can make that.
Right.
It's a bit involved, but it's a good little model.
And that's supposed to be like an indicator of how smart he is, how good he is at origami. From the very first scene, he
totally
makes an origami letter. He sends his friend an origami letter. How do we know he's smart? He loves origami.
Yeah, and he turns down a Nobel Science Prize for reasons that are unclear. He doesn't elaborate on why that is.
This is on me. We're making fun of him for being smart. Let's make fun of me for being dumb. In the movie. It cuts from him as a child in an orphanage to him immediately receiving a prize from the King of Sweden. And I thought to myself, the King of Sweden? Random. Why would you get a prize from the King of Sweden? What the hell? Can't wait to roast this on the pod. Sweden? Where'd they get that? And I wrote it down, and I was like, ha, ha, ha. Why the King of Sweden? One other King of bloody Zimbabwe, you know? And then I've learned since, when preparing some notes, that is when you get a Nobel Prize, you get it from the King of Sweden. So I'm...
There is egg all over your face. Dr. Michael Morbius is laughing at you bitterly. You idiot. And he's a very good doctor, because every single experiment he does is a success instantly.
Yeah. So let's kind of dive into this. He starts as a kid. He makes a friend, and he promises to cure their disease. Cut to he's an adult. He's a fast talking. Sexy doctor, who famous worldwide, and yeah, he's kidnapped a lot of bats from Costa Rica, and they don't really explain what he's trying to do. He puts some bat blood into a mouse. That's about as simple as it seems to be, right? He puts a map.
Absolutely.
Nothing more
it's
to it.
Time honored tradition of putting some sort of DNA into a human DNA and then becoming. That thing, and like, honestly, I'm like, I saw the movie an hour ago, and I'm struggling to remember the details of it because every scene seems so inconsequential to the one that happens before or afterwards. He just like all I can remember of this movie now, it's like fading, like a dream. You know, when you wake up and you're like grasping at it, but all I can remember is like the spinning vials. There's lots of like shots of a spinning vial. Yeah. And then him, and he's just trapped in various rooms. And it's like, he's trapped in his own lab, and then he's trapped in prison, and then he's trapped in a box, and then he's trapped in a thing, and he's just always loves drinking blue juice. And that's
it's very unclear where he works. Is it, because it seems to be a child's hospital, but also a top secret laboratory that, with no other colleagues that could ever see what he's doing.
It's a very secret place, a very miserable place to bring all these children.
Absolutely.
A terrible place.
So within, he's tried it out in a mouse. He's put the bat blood into a mouse, and then he's like, boom, one go, that cures the disease I have that I assume this mouse also has.
Absolutely.
Time to give me the bat blood. Why not?
Yeah.
And he puts it on himself, but he can't do it.
He says, I have to do it. Yeah.
He can't do it on land. He has to do it, understandably, on international waters.
In international waters, yeah. Yeah, you got to do it in international waters.
Cut to immediately international waters. And they're on... But It like literally took me a second to figure out they're on a boat because they're on a very similar looking lab, but on a boat. And he's doing it.
Sure.
He puts it. He puts the bat blood into himself. His kind of seems like a bit of a love interest. Colleague is there.
Yeah, could be. There's no chemistry, but
yeah, I think
that could be. You
it
know,
could be. Well, I mean,
could be a love interest.
I guess anyone could be a love interest of anyone, couldn't they?
That's true. We all have the potential. I mean, who knows? Maybe the second half is just about him finding love, and yeah. I would love that.
And it's not someone because
love he deserves it. He's had a hard life,
and love can come from the most surprising places. You know, it doesn't. It's not always just your colleague. It could be someone you meet later on.
I mean, honestly, the only chemistry in the movie is between Matt Smith and Jared Leto. Like their characters getting together seems like a no brainer to me.
Yeah,
like they seem deeply in love. So I'm hoping that, I mean, we didn't see it, but, I'm hoping that there's just a straightforward romantic love story between them, and it doesn't just, devolve into them fighting each other as clouds. But
no, you know that's where it's going.
I know that's where it's going.
So they're on international waters.
Can I ask,
okay,
why does he go to international waters? First of all, why did he do that? Because he already has his own secret lab. He already has his own top secret lab that nobody knows about. Going to international waters seems more of a liability. What are you doing? Like, what if you die out there? What if your friend dies out there? Like, the worst thing that happens is that he kills everyone.
Yeah.
And it seemed unnecessary for him to bring anyone else. Just do it in the lab.
I think
you're already.
I think the filmmakers had hired the boat.
I see. And then they've hired a big boat.
And then the scriptwriters.
Damn it. Yeah, that's
like,
it.
I don't think it needs to be in international waters. They're like, we've hired the boat, guys.
We've got the big boat for 3 days. we've got a helicopter to shoot the exterior of the boat. To be honest, the inside of the boat will all be in the studio. But we've got the helicopter and the boat.
Yeah.
What do you want? Can we have some of the movie needs to be on the boat.
Because he has a secret lab in New York and a secret lab on a boat. And he's like, we have to go.
Yeah.
We have to go to the secret lab on the boat. And so he
And the director's like, and also I have hired my mates from the gym, like our CrossFit group. They want to be in the movie. So I've said they could play like mercenaries or something. So the boat's going to be in international waters. And I guess some mercenaries could be on the boat.
My biggest question, who the fuck were the mercenaries? So he ejects himself.
Yeah, I get if you're going to international waters, you don't want to be arrested for injecting yourself with bat blood. But why do you hire 8 mercenaries to just...
So can you clarify, Nick?
What are they up to?
Were they Morbius's staff? Because
he said that one of the mercenaries said he was like, he's the boss man.
Yeah, but she like,
where did he meet these guys?
They seem okay. So he injects himself with bat blood, and then it cuts to these these mercenaries playing poker at the top of the boat, and they kind of hear something's up and go down, and like just immediately start shooting Morbius and being really mean to...
They start shooting the guy they were presumably hired to protect.
Yeah.
I guess the reason they made them mercenaries is so that he has some people that he can kill, but also you're like, well, fair enough, they're just mercenaries.
Yeah, it's like the Uncharted video game. You kill lots of mercenaries when you're on your fun adventure finding the treasure.
Do you not think it would have been a better structural decision to have it be just some guys working on the boat, and then he kills them, and then he's going to grapple with the they had families, they were nice people, they were just regular boat drivers, sailors, and they...
I'm the boat driver now. Actually, you're right, Nick, because there are constant references after the boat scene to how expendable these mercenaries are. Like when he's getting interviewed by the detective, Tyrese, he's like, those people you have to see, they were expendable. I could have lived without them. And like, he didn't give a shit about the mercenaries. Yeah. And then and Matt Smith as well. Is like, because yeah, Jared Leto was like talking about how he, upset he is about killing people. And Matt Smith's like, those they were just mercenaries. It can be, forget about it. Like, the movie's obsessed. Yeah, with these expendable characters. But, you know, I liked them. I was sad to see them go.
They were playing poker. They were having a good time.
Yeah.
You know, this was just a job for them. But, you know, Jared Leto doesn't care. He's now, because now he's got super strength.
Yeah.
And he can hear pretty well. He can hear pretty good. Like, okay. He's got bat hearing, which he... In one of his notes, he's making notes on his condition. He's sort of documenting himself, and there's a bunch of books on the table, and they all have pictures of bats. So clearly, he's been like, "Oh, that's a bat," and he's making notes, and he goes, "I seem to have developed some form of echolocation. That's bat radar for the uninitiated." Like these are scientific notes, right? For scientists. Scientists know what echolocation is.
For the uninitiated.
Everyone knows what echolocation is. Five-year-old children maybe don't.
Hold up, I got to put some exposition in my scientific journals.
You know, for a movie about a guy who loves to drink blood, I did not see one drop of blood.
They always talk about how the bodies he kills, their body's completely drained of blood. Well, he must be a clean eater, you know, because he's going in there, sucking them dry, and not leaving a droplet anywhere. And his main thing he does is drink artificial blood, which is like looks like Star Wars blue milk. He's kind of
From the cow, yeah.
He's just this blue juice, which might be what artificial blood looks like. I don't know, but part of me suspects it's in there to be not too gross.
Is artificial blood real?
God, see, I don't know. Maybe the King of Sweden might have given someone an award for it at some point.
My phone passcode is pi forwards, and that's why.
Mine's just the word pi. like the food. So here's a huge question. A huge question.
Oh, yeah.
So he kills all the mercenaries on the boat, and then jumps off the boat and swims back to New York. Do bats have swimming skills?
you mean like a bat swim?
How can they suddenly swim from international waters to New York?
Good question. But it's one of the many questions that is solved off screen during the scenes. He gets back and then he becomes a bat and then that's it. Like nothing. He gets arrested.
Yes, he there's a very confusing scene where he gets arrested. Oh, he gets Matrix powers as well.
It's a dodge. Yeah,
like
sure.
exact bullet time. no fun spin on bullet time. He can just do bullet time. And he can turn into vape, like you said. It turns into vape juice and kind of jumps around. And yeah, so the Tyrese and a real crack up side character cop. When you're casting Tyrese as one of two cops, Tyrese has to be the funny one. That's the rules.
Yeah.
Tyrese is.
Do you think he was trying to play against Ty?
Yeah. He's straight manning it against like, the goofiest cop I've ever seen.
Matt, he brings holy water to the interrogation.
He's like, can't be too careful. he's like the Simpsons teen. Working at Krusty Burger.
Because I kept thinking when I was watching it that it was the MCU. And so that like a guy who's a vampire, people at this point would be like, oh, fine, whatever. Yes, we've got lots of weird fucking people. But then I had to remind myself that this is the Sony MCU where
Spider-Verse.
There's just like two guys.
There's a Venom. Ooh, they're like, people are like, is this a Venom?
There's a Venom.
Is this a Venom? And they're like, no, this is.
That's the only point of reference. Like, is this a Venom? I know there was a bit in the trailer where he goes, The guy's like, "Who are you, man?" He's like, "I'm Venom." And he goes, "No, just kidding. I'm Dr. Michael Morbius at your service."
Real? Well, I've not seen the trailer.
We didn't get to see that. Wow.
So they know really about Venoms.
They mention in the movie, they say the guy goes, "Oh, this is worse than that incident in San Francisco."
I haven't seen Venom, but that even that was enough of a reference for me to go, they must be talking about Venom.
No, wrong. They're actually talking about the movie Inside Out, which is set in the Silicon Valley. A young girl, she got on a bus. She almost ran away from her parents. But so then they know about that, and they're working on the lookout for more Venoms. And I got to say, you would forgive them for thinking this was another Venom, because he's just as grey, has big teeth.
Can Venom turn into a vape?
Venom can turn into a goo.
When he turned into vape, they were like, "Well, it's not unprecedented that a guy can turn into something." So that's okay.
Sure.
That's fine. Yeah. We're okay with that. Let's just keep chasing him. Because they do. They run up onto the rooftop. So he turns into vape and flies to the roof of a skyscraper. And Tyrese...
Yeah, and they're trying to arrest him because he murdered...
He murders a nurse.
He murdered, like... Yeah.
He adds on a after killing the mercenaries.
We're meant to believe that it's him.
Yeah, yeah. Suspicions are that it's somebody else. I have my
hunches.
But
that it's one of the other two characters in the movie. There are so few characters in this movie. It's mostly just Jared Leto, and every so often Matt Smith. And if I had to pick, they made a pretty good. They spent a long time claiming that the other people that he killed were pieces of shit who deserved to die. And the one innocent person who died, I don't know. I'm just thinking, and it's not the Morbius I know.
And that is in the scene right after Matt Smith comes in angrily demanding to also become a Morbius. Or a Venom.
He wants to be a Morbius.
Yeah.
And whether he did or did not, who's to say? We haven't seen the second half. But when we leave the first half, Matt Smith comes to visit Morbius in prison by saying he's his lawyer, which is... Is it that easy to get into prison? You just say,
"I'm in there."
You have to show
all the time.
Okay, all right.
When we return, we will find out what happens to Morbius and the one other person in his life, Matt Smith, and more. Right after this.
Yes, that's right. Welcome to Alive in Cromwell, the section of the podcast where we check in on the actor James Cromwell to see if he's still alive and well. We do this because, of course, as listeners will know, at one point in the past, we thought he was dead, and we were reminded that he's alive, and every now and then we like to check in and make sure that is still true. And Joseph, I have some news for you.
Oh, what do you got?
He's still alive.
Thank Christ. Thank Christ.
Yeah. Now, save your tears. He's alive. Doing well.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because quite recently, between the last episode we recorded and this, in January of 2020, I was in New York, and he was doing a play when I was there. He was in a Broadway play, and I thought, what serendipity? We're in the same city. That's never the case. I'm going to go and see James Cromwell live in the flesh. And then the play didn't get a great review, and I was like, I'll be in New
York. Oh, no.
I'll go to a different play. I'll be in New York again soon. And then I flew home to New Zealand, where I've been ever since. So I'm really glad he's alive in Cromwell, because I now have a new mission to see him in a play. Nick, what's he up to?
And to James Cromwell, I would just say, you know, try harder. Be in better stuff.
Yeah.
If you want people like Joseph to come and see you,
yeah,
just don't do such crap.
And I would have paid up to US dollars to see that play. Would that it were good.
To be fair to him, he's actually been doing very well. I mean, Succession,
yes,
been going crazy.
It's really good.
he's doing all right. And look, I don't have any real news about him. I did find this article, which I just thought was quite fitting, because it's the Marvel character you likely forgot Succession's James Cromwell played.
Okay.
And this was published just 9 days ago. So if he was dead, that would have been part of the article. So it says, James Cromwell, incredibly healthy career as an actor for over 4 decades, appears in the series as billionaire Ewan Roy. Obviously, we all know this, and he's done lots of things. He won his first Emmy in 2013 for his performance in American Horror Story Asylum. Wow, I actually didn't know that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, congratulations.
Congratulations, James. Long overdue. But here we go. Do you remember? This is a little quiz. Do you remember the Marvel character that James Cromwell played?
Me?
Yeah.
It's not MCU. He's not in the MCU. I'd know that because those are the only movies I watch. Because
the only cinema.
Yeah, yeah. And Spider-Man should have been nominated for Best Picture. So he's either an X-Men or Spider-Man. And I'm gonna say he's some sort of cranky congressman in X-Men.
You are wrong. Oh. He's in Spider-Man 3. He plays Captain Stacy. Gwen Stacy.
Gwen's
dad.
Oh. Yeah. I remember now. And he's a cranky soldier.
Cranky police chief.
That's right.
Cranky soldier? You're well off the mark, mate.
Okay, you said captain. He's a soldier, he's police, or he's a boat captain.
Well, we know those are drivers. Yeah. Boat drivers.
Sorry, boat driver Stacy.
Yeah, he played Gwen Stacy's Stacy's dad.
I haven't seen that movie since 2007. When I saw it with you at the movies. Remember that?
No.
No. I was 18.
No. I was too busy remembering James Cromwell's performance.
I'm sorry.
Well, James, thank you for your service in the Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, thank you.
And in American Horror Story Asylum and in the Succession TV show. And I'm hoping that in Jurassic Park Dominion, your character comes back as a hologram or some shit.
Quickly, was this a news article? Hey, you know James Cromwell? He was in Spider-Man. Just thought you should. Sure, just thought you should know that. Bye.
It's not a short article. That'll do. That'll do.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When we last left Morbius, he was in jail. And Matt Smith came in to see him.
He limps in. Oh, hello. I told them I was a lawyer, and they let anyone in who says they're a lawyer. Crazy security. Morbius and Matt Smith.
My God.
Talk for a moment. Pizza. They let anyone in. They also let anyone in who says they're delivering pizza.
Right. Morbius had ordered the pizza. And yeah. He'd order with extra blood. Pizza guy, hey, I got your pizza here with extra sausage. And Jared Leto is just furious. Morbius is furious. He said, I said blood, not sausage, you nincompoop. And that's a laugh line.
All right.
And then he slits the guy's throat with his claws. Man, not a drop of blood.
Not a drop. Just out. A clean. It's like a kind of, cutting a hole in some rubber.
And Matt Smith goes, "What would you do, mate? You just killed that guy." And then Jared Leto rifles around in the pizza boy's pockets and pulls out like all this child pornography. He's like, "Don't worry, he was a piece of shit. This guy was a fucking asshole, and I'm so fucking glad he's dead." And then a warden pops his head in and goes, "Bloody good job. Well done." And just because it keeps walking along.
Cut to Jared Leto is receiving a prize from the King of Sweden for killing the the pedophile pizza boy. The whole room stands.
And he doesn't accept it. No. Once again, he turns it down, spits in the King of Sweden's face.
Punches this King of Sweden.
For real.
Slits the King of Sweden's throat. Drinks that and heads back to New York.
He's in New York and there, and he's back in his lab because, you know, he doesn't like to go anywhere else. And he's in his lab and he's just he's thinking, I gotta find a way to. I'm so hungry for blood. I'm so hungry for blood, and I gotta find a way to cure myself. So he starts listening really hard, and we go close on his ears. We see them twitching.
Yeah. And now there's
and
new.
We can see, and he's
there's new. You know, because bullet time, like you know, that's been done before, but there's a new camera technique. You know, ear cam, and this where the camera goes into the ear and it looks at the eardrum and you kind of like you watch it like in super high def close-up kind of bounce as it hears things. Wow, it's pretty psychedelic scene as the whole IMAX screen is filled just with an eardrum. But what is he hearing, Nick, on this incredible cinematic technique?
He's hearing the heartbeat of Matt Smith.
Oh god.
That's it, and then you realize, oh wow, the thing that's getting this guy riled up, it's blood, but it's specifically Matt Smith. The blood pumping through his heart has just gotten him so horned up.
Yeah,
and like, and so Jared Leto goes, I think I'm developing some sort of physical attraction. That's love for the layman, he says into his little dictaphone. He says, bats don't just like to drink blood and fly around for eternity. They also need to find a mate. So he goes out into New York to start looking for Matt Smith, his mate. But meanwhile, we cut to Matt Smith and we find out, do you know what? He's become a Morbius too.
He has indeed.
Oh, shit.
That's right. He's taken one of the spinning vials and it was spinning so fast. It's kind of like, you know, trying to, you know, put your hand in a fan, but he got one of the spinning vials out and he put it in himself and he is the biggest Morbius yet. He is,
his ears, we go into his ears and they are throbbing.
Oh yeah.
they're throbbing even more.
Five minutes spent just in his ears. And you know what he's listening to? The sights and sounds of New York City, the city that never sleeps. And I tell you who's not sleeping now.
Joseph, are you saying that the sounds of New York are almost like a song themselves? Like we hear like the...
Yeah, so...
Hey, I'm walking here.
Matt Smith's walking past. And there's like a guy with a garbage can. He's like... And he's like, wow, this is crazy.
Hey, get out of the way!
And
he walks past Broadway and... Yeah. I mean, that part of it, there is actually a lot of music going on.
Yeah, he walks past...
Incidentally.
What Stomp is on, and it's actually quite annoying because it's not in time with the city. Stomp kind of moves to its own rhythm.
So he kills them.
He kills them.
He kills them all.
He kills all of Stomp and Lin-Manuel Miranda. He kills him.
It's great that they could get Lin-Manuel for that cameo.
Yeah.
Because it's a pretty undignified way to go.
Yes. It's really horrible. And then a Doctor Strange portal opens, one of those things. And guess who walks out?
Sure.
Andrew Garfield.
Doctor Strange?
Andrew Garfield walks out, but from Tick, Tick, Boom. And he...
Great.
And he dies. He gets eaten by...
Yeah, he would.
Yeah.
He wouldn't stand a chance against this Morbius.
So Morbius, Matt Smith Morbius is now... He's got the sights and sounds of mainly the sounds of New York through his ears, but one thing about being a Morbius, I don't know if you know this, Nick, is when you consume the blood, much like when you consume a bat's blood, you become a bat. Matt Smith Morbius has consumed some of the greatest, musicians and songwriters of our time, and that's kind of He also now has supersonic musical theater abilities.
Absolutely. And you know what? I think he takes a look at the world around him and he says, you know what, mate? It's a bit grey. Let's get some colour up in here. And he's sort of taken a bit of Lin-Manuel's, a bit of his cheek and a bit of his meta-ness that Lin-Manuel is so good at. And he reaches up, he starts ripping wallpaper and ripping the sides of buildings off to reveal all this colour underneath. He's like, isn't it better with a little bit of colour? And he starts like slitting people's throats and the blood splatters against the walls and it just creates this vivid, like red, all the red. You're suddenly like, oh, there's the red, there's the blood that we were missing in the first half. It's all over New York. And he's walking around going, blood, 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 blah.
It's kind of like it's a Dorothy and Oz moment. This was deliberate. The first half, very gray.
Absolutely.
So that when we paint the streets of New York red with blood, all set to a toe-tapping tune, that was the filmmaker's intention. Now, guess who can hear all this going down? Norman Morbius.
Mm. The only other character.
Norbius, as I call him. He's heard all of this happen, and
guess what? He's not happy.
No, he didn't want to stand in Matt Smith's way because he loves him, but he's maybe starting to realize. I thought I loved him. I thought I loved him with all my heart, but maybe I only loved him because he's the only guy I've ever met in my life. You know, when we were kids in Greece, we refer to each other as the original Spartans. That's in the first scene of the movie. Is that just because we were in Greece and Spartans are from Greece? Who's to say? Is it because we hate Persians? Unsure. But one thing I know is I need to meet somebody else. Because...
And he's saying all this in the interview room to Tyrese and the goofy detective who's like, he's got one of those spinning bow ties and, and Tyrese is just stone faced and he goes, I lost my kid to cancer. Just, he's really straight manning it. Like, he's just saying the straightest things you can
say.
Well,
as we know from the first half, he lost his arm in Afghanistan.
Yeah. He's had a tough go at it. And you can see he's fighting against his comic instincts.
He
wants to crack a joke because there's a lot of material around.
Yeah, and a lot of sexy women in New York for him to describe how much he wants to have sex with them.
Yeah, at this point, like a parade of models walks past the interview room, and you could just see him like white knuckling his the desk, and he's just so Morbius. What do you say? You help us out. We've got this guy going around New York City, and he's killed all of Broadway. He's killed the whole cast of Hamilton, and he's killed a lot of people. And blood is everywhere. We need him to stop. If you help us out, then hey man, maybe I'll hook you up with some chicks. And he can't help it at the end.
He
can't help it.
But Morbius agrees. It's because he knows if he kills Matt Smith and ends his life, then he'll force himself to meet somebody else in New York City, which in many ways is the third character of Morbius. Meanwhile, Matt Smith is now living under a theater, with a big cape on and half a mask, and
he's composing his greatest musical that's going to be about a guy who's friends with a very famous doctor, and who is just kind of rich and just hangs around all day waiting for his friend, and it's called The Life of Pi backwards.
Yeah.
It's not going great.
No.
He's struggling for inspiration. Because he needs a muse. So he decides to kidnap someone close to Morbius.
Himself?
But yeah, it's himself because there's no other characters in the movie. So
there's that woman. There's that lady.
Oh yes, the woman. Yeah.
I don't think she's in the second half.
No, she died. He kidnaps himself. He kidnaps himself, and there's an amazing sort of golem type moment where it's, you know, one half of them is wearing the mask, and the other half of them is playing sort of the Matt Smith from earlier on in the movie. He's like, bloody hell, Gov, leave me alone! Morbius will be back any second to give me some blood. He's like, no, it's too late for you, mate. It's too bloody late, and Morbius isn't coming. You're with me now, and I'm gonna use you as my muse to write the greatest musical ever anyone ever heard.
It's insane. It's as Morbius would call it, crazy or batshit for the uninitiated. And Morbius has got to put a stop to this. So he turns into a vape. And one thing that is not clear about Morbius in the first half, but becomes clear, is that he kind of moves through vape clouds from people's vape cigarettes. Kind of like like an electric current. So if you do a vape, Morbius could be in that vape. And so we kind of, again, there's a cool new camera technique, vape cam, as we kind of travel through the vapes of the people on the street as he gets as fast as he can to Broadway.
Wow, this is a great scene. So he's got because he can only go where the vape cloud goes.
Yeah.
So it's like, you go in through the vape into someone's lungs and then out, and then it sort of drifts along, and he waits until it bumps into someone else.
Having a vape,
and then he can go through them.
Yeah, and for a while...
It takes like 5 minutes for him to get like 20 meters.
He gets stuck in a party for ages. he goes into like a garden bar and kind of hangs out there for a while, just bouncing around, trying to get out. But eventually he finds himself underground at the theater and... beneath the theater in Broadway, and he turns back into a man, and he looks,
and Matt Smith said, like, don't come one step closer, mate, or I'll slit your friend's throat.
Don't do it.
He'll just it's me, Morbius. It's me, Milo, or Julius, or
Lucian.
Spartan.
I think Lucian.
Lucian. Oh, forget my name. I'm so sick, mate. Oh,
that's right. He's been limping the whole time. Throughout all these toe tapping numbers,
save me, mate.
Wait. So by saving you, I have to kill you. Make it make sense, man.
I mean, I'm not a scientist. I have a big old brain like you. I haven't been turned down for a Nobel Science Prize twice. I haven't ripped Lin-Manuel Miranda's dick off and shoved it in his eye. But I love you. I've loved you since the moment we shared that bed in Greece, and we did what the Spartans do. We made sweet, sweet love. I've loved you ever since, and if you love me, you'll kill me, because if you don't, then this other side of me is just going to make the world colourful and fun and full of music, and I can't think of anything worse.
And one thing we know for sure is that Morbius hates music. It's so loud to him. Very annoying. He's like...
100%.
He's like, I understand what I have to do. I'm going to kill you. And he, his hands turn into claws. Mm-hmm. And he reaches towards Matt Smith, and he starts scratching away at his face.
Ow, get off.
Scratch. Ow. Because it's hard to do. You know, normally he'd go for a straight slit, but this is kind of like a teasing little, like a little.
Well, he's wrestling with himself.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
He's fighting the inner Morbius as well.
Yeah. He's scratching away. It's almost pleasant for
Ow. Yeah. Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah. Okay. This is a real change of pace from the sort of climactic battles of these movies normally have. Honestly, is welcome. It's not unwelcome.
They've spent all the money on the boat, so they this is And they're scratching away. They're scratching away. And there's a knock on the door.
This is on the boat, by the way. Yeah, they're back on the boat.
Yeah. It's the theater. The boat has one of those cruise ship theaters. The boat has a...
It's just, yeah, it's literally just the same. It's just, like, it's the setting hasn't changed. They're underneath the theater, but every now and then it cuts to an exterior shot of the boat.
Yeah. This is where the kind of mid-sized cruise ship production of Hairspray is on most nights. There's a knock on the door.
Who's there?
A little boy.
We're about to fuck.
Yeah, they are. It's horny. But a little boy. A little Panamanian? Panama boy. And he goes, Dada? Dada? That's right. It's the son of one of the mercenaries looking for his father. Morbius did not know that the mercenary had a boy.
Morbius is heartbroken, but Matt Smith's trying to cover up. He's like, don't worry, mate, this guy's probably a little piece of shit. He's probably a cunt. Just give me 5 seconds. I'll get something out of him. But Morbius, it's too late.
They're searching the child's pockets. Nothing. no incriminating.
He's searching his internet history.
Yeah, it's all good. It's clean. He's clean.
But Morbius, he can't let it go. So do you know what he does? He takes his claws and he swipes at the wooden beams that are holding up the chandelier. Because they're in the
Titanic.
The Phantom of the Opera set.
All right. Sorry. Yes, they're in the Phantom of the Opera set. Yeah, it swings down.
Which, yeah, it's the fake chandelier.
He swipes it
and the actual chandelier falls.
Wow.
And do you know what? Do you know what's hanging from the chandelier?
What?
Garlic. Garlic. Why? It's not explained. It's explained off screen. One of the scenes we didn't see.
One of the many deleted scenes from this movie, hastily assembled with no involvement from the director.
And the garlic chandelier falls and crushes them.
Yeah.
And kills Morbius and the other guy.
We cut to... cut to Sweden, where a new king has been anointed, and he's giving the Nobel Peace Prize to the little boy, who he then explains had put the garlic up there himself, because he's like, "Oh, the boy put it up. The boy put it up there." Can you do Swedish accents? What's all right? Yeah,
and he says it like that. He sort of says it like. Like he's trying to explain to, like sort of hastily, like someone's just handed him a note. He's like, oh, by the way, the boy put the garlic up on the chandelier, and like no one,
he goes
out of context
because you see the chandelier is hot like a oven, and the boy make the pizza up there because the light cook the garlic, and everyone in the Sweden audience is like, yeah.
Yeah.
It makes sense, I guess.
Yeah. And then we cut to Tyrese.
Yeah.
Closing a file. And he's like, wow, Morbius. Case closed, I guess. And his goofball friend comes up and is like, hey, you want to hit the club? You want to, you never come out. You're such a straight-laced dude. You want to come out and have a bit of a fun?
You know what? I think I will. Booty, 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 yeah. Booty, rocking everywhere. That comes
yeah,
on.
Yeah. And then as Tyrese turns to the camera, we go close in on his ears and they wiggle. He's a Morbius.
He is a Morbius. And we cut to post. It's Marvel. There's got to be post credit. And another Doctor Strange portal opens, and guess who walks out?
I know exactly who walks out.
Riley from
Captain John Stacy
from Inside Out. Oh, wait.
Damn, I like two your, really good offers.
I like
there.
Your one better.
I like your one better.
Okay, how about they walk out together? So,
yeah, they both walk out.
Yeah,
James Cromwell's character for Spider-Man 3. And Riley from Inside Out walk out and say to Tyrese, maybe we should team up.
And he goes, why? And they go, eh. Booty, 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 rocking everywhere. The credits roll. Wow, what a film.
It really picked up in the second half.
Yeah. It was
bittersweet.
Yeah, and what this does as well is it opens up it for the best musical / comedy Golden Globe. Because for the first half it was definitely competing for drama. But I think it's gonna get, you know, its chances are much higher now that it's a musical.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's pretty special. And it's good to see them trying new things because, you know, the worst thing you could do at this point with all these comic book movies is make something bland and drab and, like, just with no personality. Like, yeah. So, yeah, well done to them.
Have you read any interviews with the director where he's talking about how...
Yeah, like, I know. I feel bad about saying that. It seems like he had a tough time of it. He's a good director.
Yeah.
He did Life. I really liked Life.
Safe House. Really cool.
I haven't seen Safe House.
But yeah, they're like, someone was interviewed.
Hope he doesn't
listen
to this.
They're like, hey, normally your movies are good. What happened? He's like, I'm going through some stuff. please don't judge me on this. And
we should always assume that people are going, you know, people are going through some
everyone,
stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes movies like Morbius are the result.
And that's okay.
That's fine.
It gets better. If you make a movie like Morbius, yeah, it gets better.
Your life isn't your work, you know? Your life isn't Morbius.
Yeah.
Morbius is just a thing that you did.
Totally. When you...
And it's a thing that we saw.
When you got home from a day shooting Morbius, were you thinking about Morbius? Probably.
Yeah. You don't take Morbius home for you, unless you're fucking Jared Leto, you fucking creep weirdo. Leave Morbius... Leave it alone. Okay, well, that feels like a good place to wrap it up. Thank you so much for listening to The Walkout Boys. We will be back.
It was really fun to do one again.
When you least expect it.
We're sticking to our new schedule of sometimes.
Sometimes, once every 2 or 3 years. we'll see you around.
Goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.